We mentioned this earlier, but I just would remind you one more time. We do have a special program next week after the Sweetheart Supper. Fred Sutton made a Gideon Bible Blitz down to Chile, and he is going to give us a report, not as a Gideon report, but as a testimony of some rather awesome things that God did in the lives of him and the others who were there. I heard this at a Faith Fund rally down in Alamosa, and asked Brother Sutton if he would be willing to come and share that with us. And I think you'll be extremely blessed to see how God works in some most unusual ways in people's lives. So I really encourage you to come. Also encourage you to invite others to come with you, because I know that they will be blessed. And I've been told that the men's choir led by Dick Shaw will also lead in some special music. So you may want to come for that. This morning we just have been exposed to a song by Charles Wesley entitled "And Can It Be?" And that song is a very powerful song, particularly as we look at verse 4, "My chains fell off." We'll be talking about that in more detail in just a moment. Last week we spoke about the very amazing ministry of Christ. And we looked at Scripture and the declaration in Isaiah 61, and then therefore proclaimed, read, and said that this was fulfilled in their hearing in Luke chapter 4 regarding what Christ came to do in setting the captive free. And I mentioned last week that I believe that there are many believers, not a question about their salvation, but many believers who continue in bondage out of some issue out of their past. And I want to address this morning some truths that I believe are very, very, very important to help us recognize our freedom in Christ. And then tonight I invite you on back, and I want to share with you some specific applications that I believe are very, very, very valuable. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life," and you might have it what? More abundantly. Many people are not enjoying the abundant, victorious life because of something in their life, something they've done, something that somebody's done to them, and they've never biblically processed that. As a consequence, it continues to haunt them, if you please, and it robs them of joy, it robs them of power in their witnessing, it robs them of their comfortability in exercising their spiritual gifts. So this is a very, very important message that we all as believers need to hear and know. And I would just add one other thing, and that is that sometimes we think we're fine and dandy and got it all covered, and then God sometimes says, let's talk about this. There's something in our life that maybe we have repressed, set aside, and then all of a sudden it's before us and we must deal with it. So this morning as we look at the outline that's there in your bulletin, we begin with, did Christ do what he said he would do? Referring to what we talked about last week when he said that he had come to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and set at liberty those that are bruised. Did Christ do what he said he would do? Yes. He accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, he accomplished and fulfilled that mission that was given to him. Furthermore, we need to recognize something else. And if you look in your passage, it was read in your hearing from John chapter 8. Look at verse 32 and verse 36. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Are you free indeed? That's the message that we want to drive home this morning. My chains fell off, and when they are, and we understand, according to the truths of God's word, the reality, and we claim it by faith, then the consequence is our chains are gone. And many, not knowing and understanding and applying the truths of God to their own individual lives. Let me give you an illustration. If I said to you, "I just put $1 million in your bank account," how many would check out your bank account? Now, most of you say no, because you don't have $1 million to put in there. But assuming that I had $1 million to put in there, would you check it out? Yeah, and if you went there and said, by the way, somebody told me they put $1 million in my account, is it there? And they said, yes, it is. You say, oh. Yeah, right. Now, friends, listen. What has been given to us is greater than any financial amount you can imagine. But if we don't claim it by faith, if we're not living it by faith, the result is just as you could live impoverished with $1 million in your bank, so many believers are living impoverished in their spiritual life because they're not claiming God's truth. And so this message has great application for every one of us. New believer, old believer, doesn't make any difference because they're areas that we need to grasp by faith. Christ's death, burial, resurrection, imparting of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of the New Testament word provided all we need to live victoriously. We have been given all we need to live victoriously and to know the abundant life. Now, I'm speaking about believers here this morning. I'm not talking about unbelievers. We'll address that issue later, but I'm talking here about believers. Christ came, and he did some specific things, and the Scripture underlines, verifies them. And the first thing that we can understand, he set us free from falsehood. Write that into your form there in your bulletin. He set us free from falsehood. The devil is a liar and the what? The father of all lies. You can see that in chapter 8, verse 44. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. And most of us maybe did not fully appreciate how much we catered to his lies before our salvation. We believed a lot of stuff that was not so. And that falsehood, those lies that we lived in our life before our salvation, caused us to do some really, really goofy things and to redo some of the same things over and over again and to live in a great deal of discomfort. When we believe the devil, we get the fruit of what the devil proclaims. And the Bible says he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay? So if you believe his lies, the consequence is those kinds of issues are going to be functioning within your life. And if you believe his lies following salvation, then you begin to live in that same kind of handicap kind of situation. As we move through the items that are on our outline here in a moment, I think you'll see how all of these be kind of build up on themselves and the next one, and you'll see it grow. But there are many lies that we believe. One of the lies that I want to address at this point in time, I'm going to address this way. Have you thanked God for making you the way you are? Have you thanked God for making you the way you are? There are many Christians who go through life and their whole life is spent, if only, I wish I. On and on it goes. God made me too tall. God made me too thin. God made me too fat. God made me too blonde. God made me too whatever. We go on and on and on with those things. Now listen to me. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the sanctity of human life, and we read from Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, it says that we were all fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. If I can't thank God for how he's made me, then I'm saying, God, you did not make me wonderfully. Am I right? The Bible says something else. It says that while God was knitting me together in my mother's womb, he had a plan. He had a plan. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. Well, if only God. No, don't go there. Thanking God for how he made you is worshiping him. Not thanking God for how he's made you is listening to the lie of the devil, because the devil says God made a mistake when he made you. That's a lie. God made you just the way he planned. And to demonstrate that, I suggest to you, God only made one of you. How many are thankful for that? He'd only made one of us. Wouldn't you hate to meet yourself going down the street? See what I'm saying? But God made us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, friends, these are the unchangeable features of our life. And thanking God for the unchangeable features of our life is something that we can accept and give God praise and worship and thank Him. And when we do, wow, our life is wonderful. But if we spend our life thanking God made us with too big a nose, our eyes are too close,
our ears are too big,
whatever it might be, we are resisting God. How many of you know that God had a design when He made you? Wave at me. God had a design. And when we listen to Hollywood, or we listen to our own self, listen to the lies of Hollywood, saying, well, I just, you know, if only, I looked in the mirror, oh, I don't like what I see. You're fighting against God. Amen? And so, one of the things that Christ came to do was to set us free from falsehood. When we accept that God has made us the way He's made us, including big ears. You know, when God made me, He wanted a big-eared preacher. Though He made me with big ears. Okay? Now, there was a time when I didn't like those big ears. But then God opened my eyes to see that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm thanking God for that. Someone might have a birthmark, okay? And they say, ooh, this birthmark. You know what's amazing? What's amazing is people who can believe God instead of believing the devil and thank God for their unchangeable features and say, this is a gift from God to give me a testimony that when somebody asks me or looks to me about a situation, I can say, that's uniquely given to me by God. And I give Him praise for that. You have a ministry. God will use that within your life if you will allow Him to do so. And there are a number of other lies that we believe that Satan throws at us. Well, if only I'd been born in another family. How many of you know God put you in the family He wanted to put you in? Wasn't a mistake, okay? All of those kinds of things that we listen to the world. You know who some of the most miserable people are in the world? The people who think, or we think, maybe I should say it that way, are the beautiful people. How many of you know that models and the rich and famous in Hollywood are miserable people? You say, you don't think so? Well, let me ask you, how many times have most of them been married? Okay? I mean, you know, when Liz Taylor died, the litany of how many men she'd been married to looked like, you know, some kind of a who's who of folk. But you know what else? Those same people who we say, wow, she's so pretty, are the ones that are continually having all kinds of surgery trying to improve the looks. How many of you know that Miss Americas are not satisfied many times with their looks? You know why? They're believing a lie. You shall know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. It's so liberating to believe God and to call the devil what he is, a liar, and not believe his lie. Secondly, we are set free from the bondage to Satan. The bondage to Satan. Look with me to Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, meaning Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are freed from bondage to Satan. Now listen to me. Before you were saved, you were the slave of Satan. You were in bondage to Satan. But because Christ destroyed the power that Satan had over you through his death, burial, and resurrection, you are no longer in bondage to Satan. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, he that committeth sin, meaning habitually keeps on living in sin, is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, does not continue practicing sin habitually. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. The reason why Satan can't still rule and reign in your life is because he's been destroyed and defeated by Christ. You can say, be gone. The Bible says, resist the devil and what? He'll flee from you. He is required to do so because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the lost people, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them and open up their eyes. Bondage to Satan. The lost cannot realize that they are slaves of Satan. When Charles Wesley wrote that fourth verse that we sang a moment ago, in that he says, thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Charles Wesley wrote that song shortly following his salvation. Now, obviously, we can see that it could be kind of looking at what happened with Peter. Remember Peter in chains? Remember how each of these things happened to him? So undoubtedly, he was somewhat guided by that illustration of how Peter was liberated there by God when Herod was ready to kill him as soon as what we would call Easter was over, and God delivered him. My chains fell off. When we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we who were bound to him unto death, the chains fell off. And we could rise up and follow him and go forth. Now, friends, one of the lies that many people believe is that they're their own boss. Am I right? People say, I'm not going to give my life to Christ, because I give my life to Christ, he'd rule me and govern me and tell me whatever I have to do. And I'm my own person. I'm not going to do that. No, you're Satan's slave, and you're doing what he says. Okay? And that master is going to take you to hell. Christ will set you free from bondage to Satan and give you the kind of freedom that makes you free indeed. Thirdly, we've been set free from the power of sin. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants, the slaves of righteousness. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. One of the awesome things that is ours in Christ Jesus is that we have been made free from the power of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. The power of sin is that it takes you to death. We have been set free from the power of sin. Sin, through Satan, will not have dominion over you. When somebody says, well, I just couldn't help it. Or they say, the devil made me do it. They're lying. And they're believing a lie. The power of sin has been destroyed. Now, one of the awesome things is, when we accepted Christ, we were saved from the penalty of sin, which was death. And we receive deliverance from the power of sin. And one day in heaven, we'll be given freedom from the presence of sin. Isn't that going to be a glorious day? But now, Satan and sin no longer have power over us. When Christ was on the cross, he made a declaration. That declaration, it is finished. Did he tell the truth? It is finished. Never, never, never to be repeated. When Christ comes back a second time, it'll be without sin unto salvation. It means when Christ comes back again, he will not come back for the purpose of dying on the cross again for somebody else. He died for sin once. Okay? And it's a once for all situation. It is finished. So sin no longer has dominion over us because we're not under the power of Satan or the power of sin. We're under now the privilege of the power of the Holy Spirit of God living within us and allowing his power to be the power for us to live victoriously. Fourthly, we have freedom from spiritual ignorance. From spiritual ignorance. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who knoweth, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. One of the awesome privileges that we have when we're born again is we have the mind of Christ. How? By the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us. And no longer do we have spiritual ignorance. 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now hear me very carefully, okay? When you become a new believer, the Spirit of God takes up residence within you. Amen? By one Spirit, we've been all baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit that takes up residence in us is the Spirit of truth. And his ministry is to guide us into all truth. And that anointing which we have received is what enables us as individuals to open up and read and study God's Word and get illumination out of God's Word so that we can know spiritual truths. Doesn't mean we're not to have discipleship. Doesn't mean there's no value in Sunday school and Bible study and coming to church and hearing the Word of God preached and exegeted so for you to have greater understanding. But it says this. It says that now, when you've become a believer, now you can understand spiritual things. Whereas, as a natural man, unsaved, you couldn't. How many have ever heard that phrase? Was Greek to me. Okay? For the lost man, friends, do you know that there are people today who are in situations where they have multiple degrees? A master of this, a doctor of that, etc., and they cannot understand the truths of God. Why? Because the natural man cannot receive the things of God. They are spiritually blind. And you know what? They can get 10 more degrees and they'll still stay in the same situation until they're born again. The blinders will not come off to where they can know the things of God. And you can have a fourth grader being able to expound the things from God's Word and baffle this doctor. Okay? I mean, that's because of what God has done. So we can thank God for making it possible for us to know truth. So we're no longer spiritually ignorant, but now spiritually informed and able to grow. Next, spiritual death. John 3:16. You all know that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Ephesians 2:5-6. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of death is no longer on us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As believers, we have been delivered from the power of death, and we've come into the power of life, eternal life. To be absent from the body, what does the scripture say? 2 Corinthians 5:8 is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the word of God. Now, friends, listen to me. Periodically, you may have somebody who's a believer who's fearing death. He's not been made free. He doesn't understand what the scripture is that we've just touched on, and there are a multitude of other passages. Listen to me and hear me clearly. If for the first time in your life, today, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, death is not your enemy. Death, in one sense, is your friend. Because when you die and leave here, you go to be with the Lord. You leave your body behind, your spirit goes with God, and there you're going to have one day a glorified body, and one day you're going to come back and rule and reign with Christ. Death is not the enemy. Death has been conquered. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, you know, is because of sin. That's why somebody should fear the grave. But we don't have to fear that if we are believers, because we do not really die. We just change locations. Okay? We leave this shell behind, but we go into the presence of the Lord. We are free. We are also free from condemnation. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. When others try to make us wear condemnation, we need to know the scripture and know it very clearly. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Well, what part of no do you not understand? There is no condemnation. Now, hear me and hear me again. Many individuals are living in condemnation when God says there is no condemnation. The condemnation they're living under is this: someone did something to them at some time in the past, and they are living under the condemnation of what was done. Now, let me give you an illustration so I can get a for example to you. Here is a person who's been raped by someone at some time in their life. They go through the remainder of their life living under condemnation because of what's happened to them, when the guilt is not theirs. The guilt is not theirs. Someone has done this terrible thing, and before God, they're guilty. But to the one who's been victimized, there is no condemnation. And you know what will set them free? The truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, here's the other side of the coin. The person guilty of perpetrating that act can repent of their sin and have no condemnation before God. Are you with me? Now, there can be consequences. Amen? There can be consequences, but there's a difference between consequences and condemnation. Consequences are the things that we must honorably fulfill as a consequence of our wrong decision and our wrong action. Whether that means go to jail, pay a fine, or whatever it might be, we do that. But friends, listen to me. In Christ, there is no condemnation. And from heaven, God does not pronounce condemnation upon his believers. Why? Because Christ took your condemnation and my condemnation on the cross. Amen? Why did he say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because your condemnation and my condemnation were placed upon him at that point in time. But the finished work of Christ has made it so that now there is no condemnation. No condemnation. Now, listen carefully to what I say. Don't you misquote me. One of the awesome things of knowing the truth, and the truth will make you free, is this. There are people who can think back to some situation that's happened in their life, something that they've done, something that's done to them. Because they've not claimed God's truth and allowed it by faith to become reality in their life, they live their life in condemnation. They fear one day standing before God. There are preachers who preach that Christians have condemnation upon them. I'm going to let that soak in for just a second. Hear me and hear me carefully. As a believer, are there some things of my past that I'm ashamed of? Yes. But you know what my Bible says? Every one of those Christ paid for. My sin and iniquity, God what? Remembers no more. They're where? Taken as far as the east is from the west. They're buried in the sea, okay, the deepest sea. There's no condemnation. As a believer, I will not stand at the great white throne judgment. There are preachers that preach that when you stand before Christ, all your past is going to be there before you. No, it's not. Or the scripture could not honorably say there is no condemnation. And Christ finished work was not finished if you're going to have to pay for it there. You know what purgatory is? It's a lie. But it is the lie that says your condemnation has not been satisfied. You will have to pay X number of years in punishment, in punishment, in punishment. Your family will have to pray and pray so that you can get out. Friends, listen, that's a lie. For the believer, there is a day of reckoning, but that reckoning is the Bema throne of judgment. That's when believers come before Christ and they'll have their works examined of what sort they are. What have you done with what I've given to you? And one of two things is going to be the consequence. Number one is that he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, and the crown that you receive by faithfulness in your service, you will cast at the feet of Jesus. If, on the other hand, what your work is it's wood, hay, and stubble, it was done for your own pleasure, your own selfishness, for the applause of man, or whatever it might be, that does not pass the test is going to be smoke. But you will be saved so as by fire, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. So the good news is, friends, listen to me, for the believer, there's no condemnation. How many are glad for that? You know, I've heard people say, well, now what if right now I pull down the screen and I put on there all your past? What would you think God would say about it? You know what God would say about it? I don't see it if you're a believer. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all iniquity. All our sin is covered. There is no more to pay. And the devil will delight in bringing you into condemnation, reminding you of your failure in the past. And somebody said it before I did. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amen? My future, listen to me, my future is when I die, I'm going to glory. By grace, through faith, not of myself. It's a gift of God. I'm going to glory. Pastor, what about your past? It's past. It's covered. It's gone. I don't have to face it. Hallelujah. Same is true for you. There's no condemnation. Next, there's no judgment. And this very much obviously is connected, but I just want to tie them together here. John 3:18 says, he that believeth not is condemned already, but he that believeth is not condemned. Why? Because he hath believed in the only begotten Son of God. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 John 4, verse 17 and 18. It's not written down. You might want to jot it down there. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Because of what God's word declares, I don't fear judgment. I don't fear condemnation. Because I've been freed from the power of Satan and sin and death. And if you're a believer, that's true of you as well. Now the question I want to ask in closing is this. Have your chains fallen off? Have your chains fallen off? Are you living completely, totally, absolutely free? Is there something that you are afraid might jump out of the closet and appear before you? What I want to share with you tonight is, how do we deal with some of those things that may still be in the closet? What does Scripture say is the proper way that we handle such things, so that we, knowing the truth, can be free indeed? If you're here this morning, and some of what I've preached to you has kind of been a shocker to you, you've never thought of it in that way, here's what I want to invite you to do at the invitation hymn. I want you to come not to announce to the congregation what God spoke to you and how God ministered in your life, but I want you to come to the altar and thank God. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Give glory to God for what he's done in setting you free. And as you worship him and you thank him for that, then you can rise up, and as you walk, your chains will be left at the altar. Because when you know the truth will set you free. Those whom Christ makes free are free indeed. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing salvation we have. Father, so many in the world trying to do enough good stuff that they could somehow earn your favor. And we know from your word it's impossible. And they will die in their sin. But Father, some believers are still carrying around a carryover from before they were saved because of not having good teaching or discipleship training or not listening to your truths and applying them to their life by faith. And they're living almost as if they hadn't been saved. And all of these wonderful things we've spoken about here this morning are not reality in their life. Father, thank you that by faith, when we take your word as truth, it sets us free. And so, Father, this morning, if there's someone here that has chains that need to drop off, thank you that they can leave them at the altar today. Father, if there's someone here that has never given testimony of being born again, they know in their heart, oh, they went through all the different little steps within the church that they were raised in to look like they were religious and spiritual and all that, but they know that they never once in their life truly were born again. Lord, if there would be such a one here today, thank you that today could be their day of salvation and their chains can fall off. The light can shine in. They can rise up and walk away free. Free indeed. So Lord, have freedom in our midst this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals, please, and turn to our